Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm moving forward this morning in the Word of God. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a what? Good word. Yes, it is. It's a good word. And I am so thankful that you are with me this morning as we move forward through it. And God's word is always true. Thanking God this morning for his grace and his mercy, and above all, his love for each and every one of us. And the word God gave me this morning is coming out of the New Testament, and it's simply this, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We got to learn and know that when we call on the name of the Lord, it's going to work out for our good, and we shall be saved. On yesterday, favorite little boy of mine, he's one of my babies from children's ministry, and he's just like my own, 7 years old, fell while out and could have died yesterday. My God, when you have a grandmother that is a prayer warrior and knows how to get a prayer through and knows how to call other prayer warriors to go into prayer with her, God can do miracles. We watched a miracle happen on yesterday, where this little seven-year-old lived through a fall. Say it with me, family, but God. And this little boy, his favorite saying is, whew, how much he loves God. He loves to say how much he loves God. And he touches your heart. Every time you see him, you can't help but just love him. And I'm grateful that he is still here. And as I was talking to his grandmother last evening, I believe they were actually releasing him from the hospital. That's God. That's God. Miracle working God, who loves his children, God, who will be with you wherever you go, God, and his son who covered him with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us will prosper. This baby has an anointing on his life. 7 years old. Looked at his grandma, said, I'm Prophet Tevin. He's already claiming who he's going to be, that he will be a prophet. And I say this, I knew when I was little bitty kid that something about the name of Jesus did something to me. I didn't know at the time I was going to be a minister, but I knew that I loved God. I would cry when I couldn't go to church. I would just sit and watch my godmother go to church, and all I wanted to do was go to church with her. And this is my testimony. If you've been with me a while, you've heard it. I remember the day my godmother bought me a whole outfit, several outfits actually, and shoes to go to church. And I started spending my weekends with her. I always laugh. I said, that's how I got my foot in the door. I got my foot in the door when she bought me those outfits to go to church, and I got to spend Saturday nights with her. And she would do my hair and clean me up, and I would get to go to church. I was 4 years old, and I was with her from that time off and on until I was 9, and then at 9 years old, I moved in and never left until the day I got married, because that was where God was placing me and opening doors, because I needed to be in his house to start getting prepared in his house. The Lord God opens doors for his children. All we have to do is walk in. So I say this, little children shall lead us. And I think back at 7 years old, as I've spoken before, my testimony, I was hit by a car. Could have died that day. Just like a 7 years old calling on his life. Just like he had a calling on mine. So I say to you today, don't sell your children short, because you don't know what God has planned for that life. We must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we must acknowledge him. And he will, he shall, he's gonna direct our path. All we have to do is allow it. Stay in your square. Let God's light shine upon you, that you walk in his light and not in the light of the world. Because the world will take you into darkness, but God will always keep you in light. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are thankful. We are grateful. We are blessed to say that you are great and greatly to be praised, Father. We thank you for saving Tevin's life on yesterday. Lord, we ask you to guide him and lead him, that he will never do again what he did on yesterday, that he will not be disobedient, that he will do what he's told to do, because he will never want that pain again that he felt on yesterday, that he will know that his angels, that your angels guided him to the floor and laid him down, that it was your angels that surrounded him and carried him and are there for him. Lord God, we thank you for answered prayer. For you said righteous prayer avail much. Lord, we are thankful that you heard us. We are thankful that you heard us. And Lord, I ask that the word that I'm about to speak this morning, that it will touch hearts, it will touch minds, it will touch souls, to know that you are always there. You have never left us. You will never forsake us. All we have to do is believe and trust in you, and know that your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, died for our sins and rose again. The keys. Ooh, the King. Lord God, we ask you to continue to lead through your word, that we will not just be hearers of the word,
but doers of the word. That we will know that even in faith, we got to go to work. And that we work for you, oh God. Adding souls to the kingdom because it is time for the harvest and you need laborers. Father God, I thank you for my assignment and ask you to increase as I decrease. Ask you to guide me and lead me, Lord God, that I speak your word, not mine. Speak through me, Lord. The Holy Spirit, work through me today. That one listener may be saved, that two listeners may be saved, that everyone who listens may be saved if they do not know Jesus. And that if they do, they will go to work to save others. In your son's name, I lift up this word. I lift up your name. Elohim. Yahweh, Jehovah, my daddy, Abba Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I trust in you, O God, in the name of the Savior, the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus' name, I pray the blood of Jesus over every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later. That you will cover them, their family, and all their seed, that they will be covered by the blood. For we trust in you, O God. And we thank you again for this word. Amen. Giving again honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. I thank him this morning. Woo! For his grace, and I thank him this morning for his mercy morning, for waking me up, hallelujah, with a praise in my heart. As the song says, there's a praise in my heart, and I got to get it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we are going to be coming this morning out of 2 Kings chapter 19. To chapter 21, verse 26. We're going to also be coming out of Psalm 74, verses 9 through 17, Proverbs 19, verses 1 through 2. And our word this morning is coming out of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And our title word is coming out of verse 21. So let's get started. And the word of God in 2 Kings chapter 19 says, and so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And we're going to say, what did he hear? And in our lesson on yesterday, we talked about what he heard. And what he heard was coming out of the mouth of the oppressors, those that want to do harm, always wanting to do harm. But this is what it says. You know, the Assyrian, you know, comes and he talks a whole bunch of stuff. You know, he's talking about nobody can help you. We got this thing pretty much wrapped up. And I'm paraphrasing because what I'm saying is not actually what the word says. But we're going to go back to verse 26. And this is the Rabshakeh who was speaking. And this is the response from God's children. He said, this is Elkanah, the son of Helkiah, Sabner, Jonah, the son of Rabshakeh. Please speak to your servants in Arabic. They asked him to speak in Arabic. But see, he was wanting to speak in Hebrew, or the language of the Jews. I think it's what one Bible says that I've read. And it says, but Rabshakeh, and this is, He's like the big to-do from the king of Assyria. And he says, has my master sent me to your master to you to speak these words and not to men to sit on the wall who will eat and drink their own waste with you? So he's not trying to make them say, we're getting ready to do a siege against you. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hands, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me. And every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain, new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations at the deliverance, all the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? So he's talking a whole bunch of stuff. And so let's go down to verse 36. And it says this, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Jonah, the son of Asvod, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rashikin. You know, they got scared. And, you know, and the life lesson for yesterday was this. The Lord said to me to go up against the land and destroy it. The Assyrians had no command from the Lord to destroy Jerusalem, but they used a religious language to dishearten God's people. In fact, they did not regard God at all, but exalted themselves above him and thought him no different from the pagan gods. Yet those who set themselves against the Lord invite destruction. So that was what was going on. And now in today's lesson, Hezekiah heard what his people, his leaders told him. And so now this is what it says. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, which the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had the blasted, and the king heard concerning Tarhakeh, king of Ethiopia. Look, he has come out to make war with you. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard that what the king of Assyria have done to all the lands by utter destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my father have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Rasbah, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Shepharoth, Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who delivered, who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Shinar-Sharab, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods but the work of man's hand, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from this, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despaired you, laughed to you in scorn, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed against? Whom have you raised your voice and lift on high against the Holy One of Israel? By your messengers you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountain, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter the extremity of its borders to its fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk strange water, and with the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it, from ancient times that I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, as the tree on the housetop and the grain blighted about before its growth. But I know your dwelling place. You're going out and you're coming in. And your rage against me, because your rage against me and your torment, you come up to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year and in the second year what springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upwards. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mount against it by the way that he came. By the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses of all dead. So Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home and remained in Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adramelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword into the land of Ararat. Then Esharadon, his son, reigned in his place. Don't mess with God's people. That's just what I'm saying. Chapter 20. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. So the shadow go before with 10 degrees or go back with 10 degrees. And Hezekiah answered, it is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. And at that time, Beladan, the son of Beladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now, this is where we can sometimes be foolish. And Hezekiah, let's say, this is what he did. And I'm going to just say that this was a foolish move on his part. And it says that Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and the gold, the spices, precious ornaments, and all his army, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth to last in my days? Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. Now understand, he done showed them everything he had. You don't need to tell somebody everything you have. You don't show all your business and tell all your business, because you don't know who is friend and who is adversary. Because sometimes somebody knowing too much about you can cause contempt. You know, you got to be very, very careful. You know, you don't have to do that. He showed everything. It was kind of like he was being a braggart. Like he was saying, this is what we got and this is what I have and these are da-da-da. And I'm not understanding. After you die, God gave you these 15 years. And then the thing he asked, it was not, he didn't ask for God not to, to give, take away these things. Then he said, oh, that's good. Now, understand this. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? It's like, you know, I know something's going to happen in the future, but all I want to know is how's it going to be for me? And in a way, that's very selfish. And he's a great king, and he loved God. But shouldn't he have prayed for his descendants? That God would cover them and watch over them. Find out what happens to his descendants. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, so please forgive me. And he did evil. Here we go again, another evil king. Evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places, which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars to Baal and made a wooden image of Ahab, king of Israel, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded. Excuse me. Now, to do all that I have commanded. He didn't say that I put my name here, but he said, you got to follow the rules. You got to follow my command. But instead, you get this little king who thinks he's got it going on, that he can do whatever he wants to put an idol in the house of God. Come on now. And what did it say? Only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they pay no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. It takes one crooked leader to do dirt, and everybody follows. Folks following after dirt, following after lies, following after idolatry. Here they go. Well, he's the king. And the Lord spoke to his servants the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such a calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shall shed very much innocent blood that he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another besides his sin, by which he made Judah sin, is doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did, and the sins that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, son of Uzzah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Methuselahmet, the daughter of Haraz of Jabbok. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. But I want to say something here. Remember, when Manasseh became king, he was only 12 years old. A 12-year-old is not grown. They don't know too much of anything. So it had to have been somebody in this palace who had worked for Ahab or worked for somebody in the lineage before Hezekiah that knew about all this wicked stuff for a minute. So this little boy would not have known about all that evil stuff unless somebody had told him. And that's one of the things that's not written in here, but somebody had to tell this kid about the evil stuff that had gone on. Because Hezekiah cleaned out. He had cleaned house. He had gotten rid of all the stuff in the high places. He had done all of that stuff. Because remember, when he was sick, he lived an extra 15 years, which meant this kid was born in those 15 years that he lived extra. So he would not have known all of this stuff for him to do the things that he did. Somebody had to be there whispering in his ears. So it may have been his mother. That's why they may have mentioned the mothers in this, that the mothers are the ones that, you know, were idolatrous and told their sons how to do it. Because each one of these boys, they mentioned their mothers. Now, this one was 22. So he's grown, and he should know better. So let's see what this 22-year-old King Amon did. And it says his mother's name was Meshulamah, the daughter of Haraz of Jabbok. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served and worshiped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servant of Amon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Amon. Then the people of the land made his son Joash king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah. Then Joash, his son, reigned in his place. And as we go into our Psalms this morning, it says this. We, Psalm 74, 9, and it says, we do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. Your day is yours, and the night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Proverbs 19:1-2. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, is it not good for a soul to be without knowledge? and he sends, and he sends who hastens with his feet. Got to be careful. Don't be chasing after everybody. Don't follow every willow in the wind. But I just want to go real quick before we get into our New Testament, where just a few life lessons from Dr. Stanley from 2 Kings. And it says 2 Kings 19:7, I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword. Everyone falls under God's sovereign power, even powerful enemy rulers. Though King Hezekiah was unable to stave off the Rinnesharev's onslaught of change, the situation in any way, God certainly could, and he did. 2 Kings 19:35-37 testifies, and history confirms, that God kept his promise to Hezekiah and Shurinashareb fell by the sword in Nineveh. Everything concerning your circumstances, including the people authority over you, are under God's sovereign hand. Proverbs 21:1. We understand God is in charge. All these folks can claim leadership over every country, over every place, but understand, God is in charge. Say it with me, y'all. God is in charge. Leaders think that they got it going on. I'm the this or that. You are nothing. God is in charge. 2 Kings 19:20, because you have prayed to me against Shurinashareb, king of Assyria, I have heard. Hezekiah did not dispute the Assyrians' war record. He did not close his eyes to historical truth. He refused, however, to class God with any other deity and looked to God alone for deliverance. The king asked Isaiah to pray for the nation, not merely on the basis of a great need, but in order to exalt the name of the Lord, whom the invaders have insulted. Such a genuine prayer has great power. God acted in a mighty way against the king of Assyria because Hezekiah prayed for him to intervene. When we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. And I say that one more time. And that's not just for Hezekiah. That's for each and every one of us. When we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. We got to fight our battles on our knees. I tell you this. Because understand that when you fight your battles on your knees, folks wonder how you can be so calm in situations. It's because I know that my Father God is already fighting my battle and that I'm not going to worry about it. In the name of Jesus, we give it to God and we leave it alone. 2 Kings 19:35, the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Can y'all say with me, 185,000? And it says a solitary angel killed one angel, not the angels of heaven, one angel, y'all, killed 185,000 trained Assyrian troops, the best in the world at that time. In a single night, the angel of the Lord encamped all around those who fear him and delivered them. Psalms 34:7. God redeems and saves and rescues, not because we deserve his help, but because of his own loving nature and because of the promises he has made to his people. Therefore, we have a living hope. Understand, you wonder why you hear about certain folks dying. And you're like, girl, you know they was evil as the devil because they was messing with God's anointed. And that's why they are no longer here. They didn't repent. They didn't do right. And they are gone. Don't mess with God's people. You know, this dude out there talking about, and they did this, didn't do this, or they God's in this, and your God ain't going to do it either. Wrong. My God is tougher than anybody because my God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein, including you. Come on now. Don't tell me what my God can do. 2 Kings 20:17, the days are coming when all that is in your house shall be carried to Babylon. And it says, in God's name, Isaiah made this prophecy about the Babylonian exile
more than a century before it happened, when Babylon was still a relatively weak nation. When God speaks, we must listen. Understand that. When God speaks, we must listen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost, and we know we had just got out of chapter 1 and they was talking, they got filled up. I got filled up myself yesterday reading this word. This word touched my heart. It took me to that place. You know, say, take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you is what the song says, the psalmist says. And I tell you, I went there yesterday. And it says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other, gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this second occurred, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galatians? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Phrygians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, adjoining Syrian visitors from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues and wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others might say they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Whoever on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Don't be shocked when you start hearing children start to prophesy. Don't be shocked. Hallelujah. When you start seeing more women of God becoming pastors and teachers and ministers, don't be shocked. When God started using the young and the old, but the young who are the future, God is about to have a revival of young people start to stand up to their elders and say, you are wrong in how you treat your fellow man. When you start to hear young people start calling out the hypocrisy of adults that have been over them in the church, and they start to show and say that we are being hypocrites, being hypocrites, because we sit and talk about the love of Jesus, and yet we preach hate. God is in charge, but yet we put men on pedestals and treat them better than we treat God. These children are going to prophesy to us and tell us about ourselves. As the woman at the well says, I met a man who knew all about me. Our children are going to do great things for the Lord God, and they are going to put us in check as adults. And I'm speaking this because I see it, and God is speaking through me today. Don't be surprised, because children are tired of racism and bigotry and every ism out there. They are sick and tired of being sick and tired of their parents telling them they can't have friends that don't look like them. They are tough, and then yet they go to church and talk about how much they love Jesus, but yet they're bigots and racist and don't love God like they claim to love God, and do things that their children are watching. Remember, parents, children are watching everything you do, and they are going to start calling you out, because the word of God is going to be in their mouth. The word of God is going to be spoken through these young people. And I tell you now, get ready. Don't get offended. Just know it's the word of God coming to truth. Hallelujah. Whew. Wow. Speak the word, Lord. Speak your word. And life lessons from Dr. Stanley on our lesson today. And it says, they, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, to demonstrate to the disciples and to the unbelieving world that the Spirit had come in power on the church in a way, in a new way. And believers began to speak in languages they had never learned. However, understand that what they spoke were the dialects of the people from his own language. They did not speak meaningless babble or some unknown tongue. Rather, they spoke the established languages of devout men from every nation under heaven that were present. Wow. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why were there people from every nation in Jerusalem? Because it was the Feast of Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks, which was the 50th day of the Hebrew harvest, a celebration of God's provision. And Jews from all over the world would bring their offering of thanksgiving to the temple. Little did they know that God would change their lives in such a radical way, and that they would become the harvest. Wow. Because the word had to go forth. The name of Jesus had to go forth. And it went from this Pentecost all over the world. You cannot stop God. You cannot stop a move of God. I don't care who you are. You cannot stop a move of God. And it says, when and how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And this is from Dr. Stanley. It says, what does the New Testament have to say about the believer's relationship with the Holy Spirit? First, it is a curious fact that after the book of Acts, the whole concept being filled with the Spirit drops out of sight for one mention in Ephesians 5 and 18. In that passage, the grammar and word order indicate that Paul is talking about surrendering to the influence of the Spirit, not to the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. While much confusion has stemmed from the refusal to deal with the implications of this simple biblical fact, there is no real cause for confusion. The Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost, accompanied by extraordinary manifestations of his presence. These manifestations were sign-oriented, nor character-oriented, In other words, the Bible doesn't say that after being filled with the Holy Spirit, those in the upper room went out with great patience, kindness, gentleness, and so on. Rather, it says they immediately began speaking in other tongues. That is how the unbelievers who heard them knew that something supernatural had taken place. Initially, it appeared that the Spirit came to indwell only those gathered in the upper room. Soon, however, other believers also were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that again when we get to Acts chapter 4 and 9. Not everyone was filled at the same time. It took place in stages. But within a few years following the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had swept through the world, filling all those who had. We have no record of individuals being filled with or receiving the Holy Spirit apart from salvation. Today, the Holy Spirit indwells all believers in Christ. Paul wrote, "For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit," 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. The Apostle John wrote, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit," 1 John 4 and 13. Christian believers everywhere are filled with the Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is a source of great assurance. In fact, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Romans 8 and 9. We know we belong to Christ because his Spirit dwells in us. And I thank God today for his mighty, mighty word. And I just want to say to all of you, keep God in your heart. Watch him work in your life. He is in charge. Hallelujah. And this is the word that God gave Sister Carolyn this morning. God never sends you into a situation alone. He goes before you. He stands beside you. He walks behind you. Whatever situation you have right now, be confident God is with you. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And I just got to recap Sister Carolyn's word one more time, because God has put in my heart, this is for somebody listening today. God never sends you into a situation alone. God goes before you. He stands beside you. He walks behind you. Whatever situation you have right now, be confident God is with you. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. Again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, I lift up. I thank him for you, and I ask him to keep you covered in his mighty and miraculous blood. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Thanking God for answered prayers and thanking God for his Holy Spirit. Have a blessed day, family, and please join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., as we continue in the Word of God. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. It's a wrap.